The sound of a shootout in broad daylight in Culiacán, the sweltering capital of the Mexican Pacific Coast state of Sinaloa, and one of the main fronts in the blood-curdling war between rival cartels and between them and the government. Well over 5,000 people died in the conflict across Mexico last year, about a fifth of the total in Sinaloa, and most of those in Culiacán.
People have fear. I have fear. All the people have fear.
As a reporter for a local newspaper, Juan covered much of last year's bloodshed. He asked to be transferred to a more mundane beat after his brother was killed by a stray bullet when gunmen sprayed a volleyball court with machine gun fire.
I can't explain what I feel. It's terrible. It's espantoso.
For Dr. Antonio Gonzalez, reducing risks means asking ambulances not to bring the wounded to the private clinic that he runs. He made the decision after a man whose brains were visible through his shattered skull was brought in by relatives who refused to believe that he was dead.
They made me put a drip in the corpse and pretend to resuscitate him. They beat me up. Later I found out that the husband of one of the women there, a big fish, had been killed 3 or 4 months previously. He was brought to the clinic too, alive but dying. When the doctors told the people with him he was dead, they had the doctors and nurses on the floor with guns, threatening to kill them because the guy had died. That's why I told the Red Cross not to bring us gun wounds anymore.
Turf wars between Mexican cartels are nothing new, but nobody has ever seen anything like the orgy of extreme violence that began last year. Things got so bad earlier this year in Ciudad Juarez across the border from Texas that the only way the government found of bringing the killing down was to impose a de facto martial law in the city. The spiral of violence was triggered by President Felipe Calderón's unprecedented attempt to crack down, and the backlash, his government insists, is a sign of desperation on the part of the cartels as they fight over reducing spoils. But this argument hasn't calmed nerves in Washington, which has suddenly woken up to what is happening over its southern border, sending Hillary Clinton down here this week and booking in President Obama for April. It is also a logic that has never convinced many in the battlefront cities like Culiacán.
Lo cierto es que Calderón inicia una guerra y no sabe cómo, no sabe con qué, no sabe contra quién está peleando.
The thing is that Calderón started a war without knowing how to fight it, what to fight it with, or who he is fighting against. And that has generated a problem of governability for the first 2 years of his government, with the additional element that he was losing the war, or he certainly isn't winning it. Despite the huge resources dedicated to the war, there's not been a major damage to the structure of narco-trafficking.
Ismael Bojorquez edits a tiny investigative Culiacán-based weekly called Rio Doce, which walks a fine line between revealing the on-the-ground realities of the drug wars and putting its reporters in serious danger. As the so-called cradle of Mexican drug trafficking and the birthplace of most of today's kingpins, Sinaloa is a particularly good place to explore how both the narcos and their wars have become inextricable from everyday life. Take the 24-hour tire-changing workshop that Mario runs.
Pues la llantera se llevaba llena de carros. Llegaban.
The workshop was always full of brand new cars, Hummers, BMWs, the most luxurious cars there are. Inside them, some of the narcos kept their weapons discreetly out of sight, while others would come in with Kalashnikovs at the ready. But since the army operations and the war between the traffickers started, the workshop is empty. Business dropped by 70%. The thing is that lots of traffickers have been killed, and those that haven't are lying low or have left the city. And all of that is bad for business.
Mario isn't comfortable with his dependence on traffickers, but it isn't hard to find those who are. Jacqueline lives next door to a house where a 4-hour gun battle left 7 police officers and just 1 narco dead. She rattles off a list of acquaintances who have lost their lives in other incidents in the war as if it were gossip, but gets evidently angry when she thinks about the belt tightening that has accompanied it all.
Felipe Calderón has left us in ruin. This idea of going after the narcos has left us without any money in Culiacán. We were fine before the president started doing his stuff. Say what you like, but the narcos help us in Culiacan. The government does nothing.